This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
What do you think of Jonathan Kuminga? What was your answer? What are you thinking of him right now?
I think that he's a great player with tremendous upside, and he will be a very good pro somewhere. And I don't believe that somewhere is here. I think that I don't think that they're going to trade him.
Okay.
If they find a deal at the deadline that would involve the contract of DeAnthony Melton and Kuminga and one other player, let's just say it's GP2 or Looney, around the $8 or $9 million, you're at about $27 million right there. If they can find a $27 million player who they can get back, who is expiring and still productive,
Then
I think Kuminga might get moved. But short of that, I'm kind of with Ramona Shelburne, who just joined us, about, you know, Giannis is probably not moving. I don't think you want Jimmy Butler.
I agree.
Zach LaVine, no thank you.
Oh, God, no.
Brandon Ingram is a pass. And as we're starting to move down the totem pole of available options, I do think that they're more likely to do, if they make any deal, it's going to be more of a middle salary player.
I agree. I think, like, names like Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I like the player.
The big guy in Washington, only making $10 million. But you could see how that might have an effect on the Warriors if you had a body that's that big that you could bring in to the rotation. I'm with you. I don't think there's a huge deal out there for them. But I also think this, if Andrew Wiggins keeps playing like this, you know, I haven't made this point yet. You want to know why, like, on a night like last night, that Jonathan Kuminga doesn't play a lot? Because Wiggins is playing his butt off, and they don't play well together. It's that simple. If I'm Steve Kerr, I'm not taking Wiggins off the floor because all of you want Jonathan Kuminga to play, or Jonathan and his agent want him to play. No. Andrew Wiggins is playing phenomenal basketball. And he's back, and he looks comfortable, comfortable in his own skin, comfortable in the offense and the process and all of these things. And it just feels to me like I'm with you. Jonathan Kuminga is you use the word great. I don't think that. He's a good player.
I think he has upside to be great.
I think he's got upside to be really good. But he's talented, and yes, he's growing. He's doing some good things. I just am not convinced that he's a fit. You know, that last caller called him sticky. I think it's a great word. And what I mean by sticky is that when the ball is flying around on offense, sometimes it hits Jonathan and whoop, it sticks.
Yep.
And that is not what you want. That's not what you want. And so I do think that there is a little bit of a discord, not some sort of bad relationship, but some discord in terms of how the team would like Jonathan to play and how Jonathan would like to play. And that can happen when somebody's trying to play for a new deal.
I don't even think that it can be necessarily in your control. And we think about it in terms of football, where you've got some running backs who can run best in a outside zone scheme, and some running backs who are much more fitted for power, straight ahead, one gap. You've got running backs who are better on the outside. Some running backs are better on the inside. And if the running back's style doesn't fit the offensive scheme, well, then that player is going to have a hard time changing the way that they're good at running the football. And I do think in basketball, a lot of it's the same. James Harden could not play in this offense. I don't think
They wouldn't want him to.
Like,
yeah.
Russell Westbrook could not play in this offense because of the very nature. Like, LeBron James is a great example of a guy who could. He can play any
Anywhere.
Different sort of way. He can play all styles. Kevin Durant was a guy who didn't necessarily fit very naturally in this offense, but when you're that good, guess what? The offensive scheme changes for you. And you remember when Kevin Durant was here? Kevin Durant didn't do a lot of the pass and move and run offense. They would get him the ball and he would go get you a bucket. And Kuminga's obviously not at that level, but at the essence of it for me, the way he is best at basketball doesn't fit with the way the Warriors like to play basketball.
888-957-9570. What do you think right now of Jonathan Kuminga? Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, on with us a short time ago, was asked what the league thinks of him.
I think they think he's incredibly talented, and there are a lot of teams that would love to have him in their developmental system, but I'm not sure anybody really wants to commit that giant max contract to him. I think the Warriors have some level of leverage because he didn't sign that extension. They do control his playing time. I don't think they're trying to depress the market on him. That's not how they roll. They're trying to win basketball games.
Okay, so that was Ramona's answer. What's yours? Let's go to Mark in San Rafael. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
A word comes to mind when I think about Kuminga, and that word is expendable. I think, obviously, I'm a big fan of the upside, but I think he represents the Warriors brass not moving on from a two timelines mindset. And you could say the two timelines could have worked. We're one James Wiseman away from it being a great idea and everyone looking like geniuses, but it didn't work, and the fact that he's not playoff ready is evident, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about Lauri Markkanen, or you wouldn't be talking about Paul George over the summer. So to me, he's a few years away from being great, and he wouldn't be a fit in our system. But I think the Warriors need to maximize this window towards the end of Steph's career, and Kuminga's not going to be ready to contribute within that window. So it's time to move on and find the best way to do that. That's my thoughts. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark, thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
That's a little heavy-handed, in my mind, the word expendable. I think that there are a number of ways that this can develop throughout the year. And I will fully admit, on this topic, which you and I have detailed, is going to be a topic all year long.
Yep.
I have already labeled myself a flip-flopper. But I think that that's the nature of the conversation. And here's what I mean. I think we're going to spend all year trying to figure out, is this Warrior team good enough as constructed to actually contend? We know they're good. Can you actually contend? Or do you need to rid yourself of some of the parts, because you've got a lot of parts, to whittle down the rotation and make it a little bit more dynamic so that you can actually try to win a championship? And I go back and forth. If you'd asked me a week ago at the end of the week, no, keep them. I love this group. I love their chemistry and the way they're playing. Then the D'Anthony Melton injury happened.
Right.
And we saw three straight games of Jonathan Kuminga not getting 20 minutes. And right now I look at them and I go, I think that we may arrive at a time. It's wonderful how they're playing, but we may arrive at a time where you feel like you've got to tighten some screws if you really want to win in June.
Yeah. And I think that when you talk about April, May, and June, the playoffs, you're not going to play 12 guys. You just aren't. 10 is even an extreme number when you get into the real deep, deep series, the deep water of April and May, and hopefully June. You get down to 9 players, sometimes even 8. So if you're a team that has 12, and right now you're looking at 12 with Lindy Waters now not only in the rotation but starting, you've got 12, so you may have a couple of extra players as you get down into the crunch time of the playoffs. So if there's a 3-for-1 trade out there that makes sense, you have to look at it, especially when you've got GP2 making $9 million expiring, D'Anthony Melton gone for the year making $12.8 expiring, Kevon making $8 expiring, Kuminga's expiring. Heck, even Lindy Waters at 2.1, 2.2. It's a 1-year deal. So you've got a lot of financial flexibility already for next year. So you got contracts that might be attractive for other teams.
Drew in San Jose, you're next up. Hi, Drew. Thank you for calling.
Thank you guys for taking my call. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, what do I think of Kuminga? Like, look, I think he's very much an improving player, and I think he's had some bright spots even this year. Like, did the Warriors win that game in Houston without Jonathan Kuminga? So I think he's had bright spots, and I think he's an improving player. But, I'm in agreement with pretty much everybody who has spoken. I think we're all saying that he doesn't really fit on the Warriors, and he's not worth a max contract. I guess one way where he could fit is be sort of that super sub scorer off the bench, but he's not efficient from the field, and he's definitely not efficient from the free throw line at this point. And so, using that contract along with the Anthony Melton's contract would net a player maybe like a Cam Johnson from the Nets, somebody who just fits in the system and knows how to play, because as long as Steph is here and as long as Steve Kerr is here, you're going to have that system. And so that's how I feel about Kuminga. As far as the trade market goes, there doesn't seem to be a trade out there right now that really makes sense. And if that's the case, I would just keep him and wait until the off season, and you can make a decision then. But yeah, it's very apparent he doesn't really fit on this team.
Yeah, Drew, thanks. Man, it's interesting. Again, we're just taking a handful of calls and a straw poll here, and I'm sure more voices will come in. But I feel like whatever has gone on this year for Jonathan Kuminga, because if we go back just a couple of weeks to when Clay was coming to town, it had been recent that Jonathan had been, quote, benched.
Yeah.
But actually, it was just changing roles, and he was still playing 26, 27, 28 minutes a night. And he was scoring actually better, 17 a game since he had moved to that role and all of those things. And there was some relative positivity about, A, the way he was handling it, and, B, the output they were getting. And, my, has it changed fast. And we're having a hard time finding anybody who, at this moment at least, feels like they really see a long-term future for Jonathan Kuminga with the Golden State Warriors. For two reasons. One, he's probably the biggest chip you have in a year that suddenly people are thinking, wait a minute, the Warriors aren't just surprisingly good. Like, dude, they're the one seed right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they can
11
actually.
And three.
Yeah. Maybe they can actually really have a special season, and Jonathan is the chip that could help you get there. But, B, here's the easy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One for me. If you're telling me that this player is going to cost $35 to $40 million, I'm out.
Well,
like he's not a $35 to $40 million player.
He's not, and that is where the whole rub lies, because that's probably what he wanted. He wanted the max, which is even more than that, reportedly, in the offseason, and the team balked at it. And that's why we asked Ramona Shelburne that very question about what does the league think of him. And we're going to find out in the offseason, if he doesn't get traded, a team is going to make him an offer, and the Warriors have the opportunity to match it or not match it. And I would bet if that offer comes in at 4 years and $160 million, then the Warriors will shake his hand and say, good luck in fill in the blank.
Right, right.
And if that offer comes in at 4 years and $100 million, now you've got a choice to make, and you probably match it at $25 million a year, although looking at next year's salary numbers, Mark, they're already inking. They already have $151 million on the books, and that is with just seven or eight players, which tells me if you really want to get better next year, you're going to have to do it by spending between $20 and $40 million on one guy or a couple of guys.
Right.
And if Kuminga's making 25 of that, and you already kind of have him as your sixth man, seventh man, eighth man, you're going to need to spend better and do better than that.
Well, and let me ask you this, too. What has been the most annoying thing to you about the Warriors so far this year when you watch games?
Probably the turnovers.
Okay. I would argue there's only two answers that even make sense, and that's one
of
them.
And the free throws would be the other one.
There you go. Yeah. And I hate to submit this to y'all, but your number one culprit is right here. Jonathan Kuminga.
He's down 8 percentage points from his career.
He's shooting 56% from the line in the month of November.
Yeah, 62 on the year.
56% in the month of November, and that's not a small sample because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games. 56% from the line, and obviously he's one of the guys who gets there the most.
Right.
Like, I would tell Jonathan, if I were Jonathan's agent or his dad or his brother or whatever, I'd be like, Jonathan, dude, like, one of the things holding you back from being a star is the free throw line. If you want to average 17, 18, 19 a night in the NBA with your skill set, dude, you have got to be amazing. You have got to be 75% from the free throw line. And he's not. Again, 56% here in the 9 games in November.
And he leads the team in free throw attempts.
Yeah.
He's shot the most.
It's a brutal number.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible number. And he's the number one culprit with the team-wide problem that is.
Well, he's not alone. And you got Wiggins at 72%, Draymond shooting 69%, Looney at 53%, TJD at 58%.
But your name,
Pods is at 60.
That's the one. That's the other one, because you're naming names where you'd expect that.
But I was going in order of free throw attempts.
Right. But
that's where it becomes an issue.
But Looney and TJDs of the world, you expect a lower percentage. Draymond at 70%. I'll take it.
Draymond, I mean, Kevon is 7.5 points lower than his career average.
Okay.
And Kuminga's 8 points lower than his career average. That to me is where the problem is. And yeah, I'm not expecting Kevon to shoot 75%. But when you're shooting 53.8 and you're usually 61, that's a problem.
It is, but Jonathan gets there a lot more than Kevon does. And so I look much more at him. Plus, he's a wing player, not a big. He's not a rebounding big.
Yep.
Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, and Brandon Pajemski are the three that I have my eye on. And Andrew is the least offensive because at least he's north of 70%.
Right.
But the other two, you know, they're the two guys we're talking about.
Kuminga and Wiggs are 1 and 2 in attempts. And that's, you know, Kuminga not even playing as many minutes as Wiggs, not even close. And he shot 60 free throws to Wiggins 47. Steph 38 for 40 from the line. I'd like to remember the two misses, but I can't.
Actually, I can.
You can remember them both.
I think he missed at least one of them in the Clay game, didn't he? I think he missed a free throw late in that game.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's one of them. We found it.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy might have a job in this league.
Yeah, the thing about Kuminga, and one stat that I kind of have created in my own mind is it's a plus-minus related to the team. If your plus-minus is 10 points better than the team's overall plus-minus, then you had a good game. So, in other words, last night Kuminga was a +1. The team won by 23. That tells me that he probably didn't impact the game that much in his 15 minutes.
Right.
Of his 14 games this year, he only has 2 games where he's 10 points or more better than what the team was. The caller mentioned one of them, Houston. They won by 6. He was a +18. He had 23 points. That tells me that he was the man that night, where he's a +18, and he kind of carried the team in many ways. The other one was in a loss where they lost by... And they lost to Cleveland.
He
was a -4, and they were a -19. So
he was pretty good, but I'd also argue that that game got out of hand immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
So it's not like there was nothing clutch about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I look more of it when there's a win, a close win, sure, and you were bananas. And, you know, there's only been 2 of his 14 games where he made that impact.